So how you doing, Steve? You have a good Christmas?
Nice Christmas. 3 days in a row. Instead of trying to get them all together and coordinate all that, we just kind of did shifts. And my daughter and her husband came by on Saturday, and Sue's son and his wife and grandkid came by on Sunday. And then Sue and I just had a great time just all to ourselves on Monday, on Christmas Day.
Great. I tell you. Yeah, we were able to get together with our daughters and the grandkids, and it was a lot of fun. So what are you up to today?
At the dumping station in Campobello with a load of trash, and now I'm headed over to W4NGU's, over to Phil's. We're going to look at some tower layouts. So he is finally going to actually put up a tower over there, I think.
Unbelievable.
I'm trying to encourage him and help him any way I can. He's on his own until Monday night. His wife went up to Kentucky to see her mom, and he's playing bachelor for a few days, so, he's having a good time out there in that building.
You can get lost in that building. I tell you, that is one nice building he's got there. I tell you what. Is he driving the Pontiac in him?
Got a leak, and he says it's transmission fluid, but he doesn't know where it's coming from. So I showed him a way to try to figure out where it's coming from. It's either a front seal or a rear seal on the transmission, but it's not leaking bad, and he's had it out some.
Yeah, that's kind of things you got to expect with a car that's been sitting that long. And if he can get it up off the ground, he can figure out where it's coming from, and heck, he can put some UV dye in there and look at it with a black light, and it'll tell him where it's coming from for sure.
All it's got to do is take it out, get it warmed up, put down a piece of cardboard, from the front of the engine to the back of the transmission, and just let it sit there. It'll tell you where it's leaking.
So it talks to you. Well, that's good. I never have had one of those. It must be a feature they had back that year. Haven't been able to play very much between the weather and the holidays, so I'm getting in all I can.
But as far as the car talking to you, hey, it don't matter what model it is or how many features it's got, they'll all talk to you if you just listen.
I know. A lot of times they'll tell you something different than what the owner's telling you. I never will forget, and this happened, this is just one example, this happened just about everywhere I work, and had a police officer come in one day when I was working in the county. He said, "There's something wrong with my transmission." I said, "Really?" He goes, "Yeah." So I took it out and drove it, and man, it shifted great and sounded fine, but I noticed his fan clutch was locked up, so I brought it in and put a new fan clutch on it, and I said, "Well, you're ready to go," and he said, "Well, what was wrong with it?" I said, "You just needed a fan clutch." He said, "No, that can't be it." I said, "Yeah, that's it." So he out and came back and said, he said, you were right.
Back several years ago, we bought this car when they first came out with paddle shifters. And I'm not going to say who it was, but they put it down in S. You know, it had P, R, N, D, and S. And they put it down in S. They said, well, you know, this thing just don't shift right. You know, because it would still shift, but just not correctly in sport mode. But he says, well, I thought that stood for speed mode. Well, I didn't know. Put it in drive, and it was just fine.
Oops. Well, I worked on a, I can't remember what it was. Oh, golly. It was kind of just I guess kind of about the size of a Toyota Corolla or something, or a Camry, but it wasn't a Toyota. And they had driven it back. It was a rental, and they had driven it back from Atlanta in like second gear or something. They did not drive a stick shift. And so they blew the head gasket and the transmission, the pressure plate, and the clutch plate were burned up, and so I had to, you know, do all that, fix all that. Once I got it, got all that done, and changed the thermostat out too, and that thing ran like a top. It was a V6 and 5-speed, and I was working for a used car lot at the time, on the side, and working in my driveway. Boy, this was days.
Hey, have you been reading about the Teslas and the battery problems and all that kind of stuff here lately?
I have not. I actually saw a Tesla, one of the smaller ones, the other day, that actually liked the looks of the front end. Didn't have that plain Jane front end on it, and must be a new one, but it actually looked pretty good. So they're having battery problems now.
It seems that the report was the guy picked up his brand new Tesla, drove it 140 miles, and an A-frame came loose out of the front end. And whoever it was, it pulled it, it was riding down the interstate, the A-frame somehow or another came detached at the back of the, not at the wheel, but at the, where it mounts onto the frame, and the back of the A-frame came loose, and the car sat down on the interstate. It was bad, only 140 miles on it. But there was another report of one, a cinder block fell off the back of one of these construction trucks, and the guy had bought the Tesla used, and he had given something like $12,000 for it. Well, when he ran over the cinder block, he found out all of a sudden it was going to cost him more than he paid for the car to get the batteries replaced, because it put a small dent in the bottom of the body pan of the car, and they said it had to have all the new batteries replaced in it.
CBA. Well, you know, what do you say? I guess whoever was driving that truck or whoever owned that truck is going to be footing the bill.
This thing breaks in on your conversation. Well, no, the guy that was, like I said, the guy that was hauling the center block, it fell off the back of his truck, he didn't even know it. He didn't even stop. So the owner of the car was just hung with the repairs.
Man, I would have been fit to be tied. Yep, well, I guess that's another reason I don't own an electric vehicle, an EV.
K4WCO.
What's fine.
Dave in the other station, I didn't catch your name. I was just reading the mail here, sitting out in Hamrick's parking lot. Similar thing happened to my wife about 2 years ago. She was going down one of the interstates in Atlanta, going to work, and a box the size of a refrigerator fell off of a flatbed. She just happened to be the unlucky person behind the truck. She slammed into that thing. Later found out it was a shower enclosure or a bathtub because there was all kinds of fiberglass pieces under the hood. The truck never stopped and totaled the car, and we ended up having to buy her a new car. So I can relate to the story. K4WCL.
I was coming up 85, and one of these roofing contractors had a big old long, I guess it was about an 18-foot ladder, extension ladder, up there on the top of a rack. He didn't have it tied down good, and it had just finished raining. Well, needless to say, I hit the brakes, ran up onto that ladder. It drove one of the legs of that ladder up through my transmission, and I went around a 360 two times and wound up parked perfectly on the right-hand median, out of traffic, and never hit anything in between.
And that's because you're such a talented driver, Steve. You know, I was watching video on Facebook, and a guy had taken the exit on the interstate, and this truck lost a piece of a sheet of plywood, four bay sheet of plywood. It came up and went over to the guy on the exit and hit the front of his car, tore up the front of the car, and of course they just kept going. You know, they didn't know any different. And, you know, and the lady's getting out looking at the front of her car, you know, like, you know, what do I do now?
Nothing you can do except call the cops, get it reported, and have it towed.
Back to listening mode. I just thought I'd share that story. Anyway, 73 Steve, 73 Dave. I'm going to continue to do what I was doing, listen to you guys, and got the seat reclined in the truck and trying to catch a couple of winks here before she gets out. K4WCL.
Catching that, you better turn that thing down. You don't want us keeping you awake because all we're doing is clattering along. And all it does is just goes to show the stupidity of people out there. They're everywhere. And you just can't fix stupid.
My oldest daughter, being a nurse, she has a sticker that says, "You can't fix stupid, but you can sedate it." I love it. But anyway, I'll tell you, well, you know, as Tom says, they walk among us. And, boy, yeah, I got behind a city or county truck. It was hauling brush, and you could see one of the limbs and the leaves flapping in the breeze, you know, at the top of the truck there. So I got over, and I was right behind him, so I got over. It was on 291, the six-lane part, and I got over in the right-hand lane. He was in the middle lane, and I'm daggone, that thing came flying out and hit the front of my car, and so I made him pull over. I caught up with him, and the a traffic light, and I told him what had happened, and he pulled over in Cherrydale with me, and we looked at the front of the car. Thank goodness there was no damage, but I was ticked. I said, aren't you supposed to have that thing covered with a tarp? I said, that's a law. And I said, here you are driving a county truck.
Said you can't fix stupid or lazy for that matter. Hey, listen, when I was riding on a poker run on my Harley Davidson electric line, and you know where you turn off of Lawrence Road to go down Antrim, to go down there by the old McAllister Square? Well, that was the course on this poker run, and I started down through there, and Antrim right there is three lanes right before you turn into McAllister Square. Well, I was in the left lane, and this woman with half a dozen kids in her little SUV decided she was going to turn into McAllister right there, right in front of me. Man, I slammed on the brakes, got that bike completely sideways. Big old electric glide. I had it down sideways, and it caught in the frame, and it dug in on the pavement, and right as I got stopped, it did a flip over on me. Well, we got stopped real good, and after about 15 or 20 seconds, I managed to go, I'm still alive, and I got up, and I looked at my motorcycle, and she had pulled into McAllister. And she did the right thing. I mean, she did the right thing. She realized she had cut me off. And I walked over to her car, and I said, is everybody in your car all right? And she rolled down the window and said, looked at me and said, I thought I killed you. All I could do was just look at her and turn and walk away. Oh, boy.
Well, you know, sometimes you just have to do that because what's going to come out of your mouth may not be the most pleasant response in the world. Oh, Lordy, that's funny. It's not funny, but it's funny now. But I'm glad you're okay from that. Oh, me. Well, I'm going to get off of here and I'm messing around with. They got me an Xbox for Christmas, so I'm trying to figure this thing out. I'll tell you, it's a mess getting it set up, but I think I'm about there.
You can kill some time in a better fashion.
You and Phil.
Why don't you go ahead and jump into that extra class with us? Me and a couple of other guys, we're going to take that extra class, and we're going to get our extra licenses. Matter of fact, KN4WQQ, Steve, you know Bronkus, Bronkin, he's going to do it, me and I'm going to do it, a couple other guys are going to do it. You ought to jump in there with us, Dave.
KF4NXY.
Hey, Dave. I want to hear KV4CBA's response to that. Why don't you jump in there with us?
I wouldn't mind doing that. I've already been through the class. In fact, I think I was in the last one they had before COVID. But I couldn't even come close to passing the test. So anyway, that stuff is, some of it's just, my brain don't work that way. Oh, man. Go ahead, David.
You come through beautiful downtown Hickory Tavern, pedaling toward the house. It's a beautiful, sunshiny day. Just want to say howdy to you gentlemen and let you know, like the other fella, I've been listening. And y'all go ahead and pick it up. I'm not getting the machine real good out here in the way out here in the country. I'll try when I get home. I'll get on the one at the house.
Good in, big boy. We'll talk to you later. And Dave, I tell you what, bud, I'm gonna go ahead and jump off here. I just pulled into Phil's place, and we're gonna see what we can do to get this boy figured out. So. You have a good one, and I'll talk to you. K-4, VWA, I'm clear.
Be sure and tell Phil I said hello, and gosh, I hadn't seen him in a month of Sundays. And Dave and John, y'all behave yourselves. I know Steve's not going to, so I am going to say that, but anyway. 73 to all. I'm going to clear out of here. KB4 CBA.
You hurt me. I'm sweet and innocent.
I'm going to give you a little bit of free advice. I, too, struggled with the extra several times over a 20-year period. And I got the Gordon Wetz book. And Gordon... Old Gordo taught me CW back in the early, late 90s. And I gave his book a whirl for the extra. And I passed the extra with flying colors. So sometimes taking a different approach to something is a good way to do it. But I highly recommend Gordon West's extra study guide. He explains things in a level that even my non-technical brain was able to comprehend. So, just a suggestion, K4WCL.
Well, I have the latest book here that I got from Gary. I'm pretty sure it's the same one that they're using. It hadn't changed. So you're saying there's one that's put out by Gordon. You say his last name is West?
Yes, he's commonly referred to in ham radio circles as Gordo, and he's been an educator in the hobby for many years, pretty well known, and several of my friends who were struggling or had struggled in the past with using the ARRL study guide, I actually gave my copy to somebody. He passed it, and several others used the same method, and they all passed. So, I use Gordon West, his CW cassette tapes. I'll tell you how long ago that was, but I used Gordon West cassette tapes to learn Morse code many, many years ago. He's a very good, able to explain things on a or on a level for, you know, I consider myself a non-technical ham. I'm not an engineer. I'm not an IT guy. You know, I'm a salesman. But he explained things where I definitely comprehended them. I got 49 out of 50 on the test, so just give that a whirl.
That's great. I'll have to look that one, look him up. I'm like you. I'm just not, I just don't get all the technical stuff. And I'm a musician and a mechanic, so I'm, you know, I mean, I understand the basics, but, you know, you get beyond that, it's just kind of, you know, Greek. No offense to anybody that's Greek, but, I guess it's just one of our sayings here in the South. But anyway, I appreciate the help there. You have a good one, and I'll talk to you later, KB4 CPA.
Well, my wife just texted me. She's in the checkout queue, so she ought to be coming out here any minute now. 73, Happy New Year, K4WCL.